entitled In the Desert with the Father. And just when I think I'm finished, it seemed like the Lord laid something else on my heart. So the message today that I want to share, I'm sure that, you know, sometimes there are some messages I share that are very well received. And they sell a lot of CDs. And, you know, there are other messages that I don't sell a lot of CDs. And there are messages I get people say, you know, Pastor, I'm glad that you hand out notes because I take them to my job and I share them with the people the next day. And some people even do Bible studies on their job and they use the notes. I know Deacon Corbin a couple times, he shared some of the stuff that I was preaching at with the inmates at the prison. So I realize that the messages I preach at Bethany go far beyond the congregation on Sunday morning. And then, you know, when you think about the radio, how that goes all over Western Pennsylvania, parts of West Virginia and Ohio, and then on Word FM through the internet around the world that people can tune in and listen. And, you know, then our broadcast this morning is being recorded and it'll be played on Cornerstone Television. So, you know, the message goes far beyond. But I think this is a message today that many people will take it in, and you might be even thinking of somebody else when you hear the message. And so don't put up your spiritual umbrella and think it's for the person next to you. As the song said, it's not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series titled In the Desert with the Father. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Desert of Frustration.
All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So this morning, we want to talk about in the desert with the Father. The desert of frustration. The desert of frustration. The desert of frustration. What is the definition of frustration? Frustration is feeling upset or annoyed, especially because of the inability to change or achieve something. Now, don't go to that next slide yet. Don't go to that next slide yet. All right. Frustration, the feeling of being upset or annoyed, especially because of inability to change or achieve something. So many of us find ourselves in a place of frustration. Now, I want to share with you the most frustrated human being, well, not human being, but the most frustrated being in the history of the world, the most frustrated individual in the history of the world. Wile E. Coyote, right? He's the most frustrated individual in the history of the world. Why you say that? Because this brother was always trying to get the Roadrunner, right? I mean, the whole time. He went to this company called Acme, right? And he always had some scheme or some plan to catch the roadrunner. I mean, and these things were, they were sure-fired plans, right? I mean, they can't miss plans. And every time he would put dynamite, you know, on his feet and be running, almost catching the roadrunner. Then at the last minute before he got ready to catch the roadrunner, the dynamite would explode, right? I mean, it was just crazy. And so, you know, so you think you got frustration, right? Right, you think you got roadrunners in your life, right? This guy, you know, he was constantly dealing with this situation. So when we look at frustration, we see that life in general can be very frustrating. Life in general can be very frustrating. Solomon wrote, "I have seen all the deeds that are done under the sun. They are emptiness and chasing the wind." So what is Solomon saying? He's saying that life in general can be very frustrating. And so I decided to put this theory to the test when I knew I was going to preach this message. So driving to work on Friday, I decided to put this theory to the test, right? Okay? I came to a long light. It's very frustrating. When is this light going to turn? You know, I'm to the point now between here and my house, I know all the long lights. And, you know, I try to. Now, I try to, you know, drive, you know, sensible in, you know, within the laws of Pennsylvania driving. But I really hate to get some of these lights. I mean, because it seems like you sit there forever. And sometimes it can be very frustrating. So I found myself frustrated coming here Friday because of a long light. And then I was coming down Penn Avenue, and I was at a light. And there was a lot of cars behind me, and there was a guy coming from the opposite way who wanted to make a right turn. And I went like this. And he didn't go. And I went like this. And he didn't go. And I went like this. Very frustrating. And then I was coming off the parkway into Wilkinsburg, getting ready to merge, and there was a mail truck. And it was coming, and I thought that the guy was going to let me merge in. Did he let me merge? No. I almost felt like we was in a drag race, right? Until I said, you know, you better slow down and let him go ahead. So, I mean, just coming here, driving here, there were three very frustrating situations. And then I began to think about things that frustrate me. And you know, I was thinking, you know, things that frustrate me, and I realized that I frustrate other people, you know? And you might not realize it, but you frustrate other people. Right? I mean, I thought, man, how many people do I frustrate? You know, I know I frustrate people. So I want people to be patient with me when I frustrate them. But, you know, we don't want to offer that same grace to other people. So I began to think about things that frustrate me. When I have a computer problem and I try to resolve them, why do I always get somebody in India or in the Middle East somewhere that I can't understand? What? What did you say? I can't hear. I'm having a heart. You know, why do I always get somebody in another country? That's, you know, to me, that's very, very frustrating. I know that the businesses are set up that way, they make money. But I'll just be honest, it's kind of frustrating to try to take care of business. Why does the cashier always run out of tape at the register when it's my turn? And I'm standing there and I'm saying, man, you know, do you mean to tell me that you couldn't wait till after I got through? Or you couldn't do it to three people before me? Why is there always a carload of people when I go to my restaurant? You know, I have a stop that I go to, a fast food restaurant that I go to. Healthy fast food, right? Yeah, okay. But you know, sometimes when you look and there's like one person in the car, you say, well, man, I know that this is, they're gonna zip right through, you know. But then when I get it, sometimes I get in there, man, I see like five heads in front of me. And the first thing I said to myself, oh, man, we're going to be here a long time. And especially if they spend a long time at the window ordering, then I'm saying, oh, man, if it's taking them that long to place their order, I know it's going to take even longer. Frustrating. You know, why does something always go on sale after I purchase it? You know, that's frustrating. That's frustrating. And how is it that you go to your favorite rib joint for some honey mustard ribs and they don't have honey mustard? How in the world you got a rib joint that your specialty is honey mustard ribs and you don't have, oh man, look, I'm just going to go on down to McDonald's and get me a hamburger, man. So, you know, I mean, that frustration is just a part of life. But let me say this, that we are in good company. We are in good company when we deal with frustration, because Jesus became frustrated when he reacted to the disciples not being able to cast a demon out of a little boy. Remember what Jesus said? I believe Jesus said this in frustration. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? And so I believe that even Jesus experienced frustration. He was God. And we know God, all you got to do is read the Old Testament, and you see that God experienced frustration. The Apostle Paul, he got frustrated. I believe he was one of the greatest saints in the church. And he got frustrated when John Mark deserted him on a missionary journey. He was very frustrated, even to the point where him and Barnabas got into it. And then we see that Moses got frustrated. God told Moses to speak to the rock, and Moses got so frustrated that he hit the rock because he was angry with the people. He was upset with the people. So I just want to say that when you deal with frustration, just to let you know that you are in good company. Let's look at the background to our passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I have it there in your notes. Paul was caught up either in a vision or bodily into the third heaven, which is in the very presence of God. So he was caught up, and Paul said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. He said, but I was caught up into the third heaven. And God showed me things that he could not come back and share with other human beings. He said that God showed me things that were unspeakable, that I couldn't come back and share with other people. Now, I appreciate Paul's humility, right? Because look what he says. He says to keep this experience from becoming something that would cause him to be arrogant. You know, now, I guess, you know, anybody that's been caught up into heaven and God shows you things that he don't want you to come back and tell somebody else, that you might start to get a little big head. And so Paul realized that this might be the case with him. And so he said that to keep me from becoming arrogant, God gave him, or gave me, a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. A thorn in the flesh. Now, Paul's thorn in the flesh was a frustration. It frustrated him. And some people have tried to speculate as to what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. And some have said, well, it was some type of sickness that Paul had, eye problems. And they refer to Galatians 4:15 and Galatians 6:11. And in Galatians 4:15, Paul tells the Galatians, he said, I know that if you could, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given it to me. So some people have said, well, maybe Paul was having some eye problems. And then when you look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul makes a statement, how large a letter I have written. So when people take those two scriptures together, they say, well, you know, Paul's issue, his problem was that he had was dealing with some eye problems. And then right in the text, it says that there was a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him. So some people believe that Paul's thorn in the flesh was an angel, was a demon, was an evil spirit that came to torment him, and that he tormented him on a regular basis. And another speculation especially when you look at the Old Testament, Numbers and Joshua and Judges, some people say it was people, because the scripture says that when Israel came into the land, that the enemies, the people, became their thorns in their side. So some have said that, well, people were Paul's thorn in the flesh. Well, the fact of the matter is that we don't know what it was. And, you know, the text doesn't say, and I kind of believe that maybe God had it that way, because some of us, if we had the same thing that Paul had, and we knew that we had what he had, you know, we could say, well, you know, I'm just like Paul. You know, me and Paul are just the same. So I don't know. So we don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but here's a couple ideas as to what some have said that Paul's thorn in the flesh was. But whatever his thorn in the flesh was, we know that it was a frustration. It was a frustration. So what types of frustration are there? I'm saying there might be more, but I have identified three types of frustration. Three types of frustration, right? There's people frustration, there's personal frustration, and there's circumstantial frustration. When people don't do what we want them to do, or the way we want them to do it, we get frustrated. Also, when we are interrupted by people with things that impede our progress, then we get frustrated. Maybe you were dependent on somebody to do something, and they didn't do it. And it just causes you to get frustrated. It causes you to want to, if you have hair, to pull it out, because you get frustrated. People can be the source of a lot of frustration. I heard the story about a teacher who was helping a child put on his boots after school. And she was pushing and pulling and tugging, and she began to sweat to help this young child put his boots on. And when she got finished, the boy said, "Teacher, my boots are on the wrong feet." And she looked, and sure enough, they were. And so, you know, she had a hard time putting them on, so she had just a harder time just trying to pull them and take them off and struggled them. And she got them off, and then she switched them around and struggled and put them on the right feet. And the boy said, "These aren't my boots." And the teacher, frustrated now, took the shoes off, you know, all that she could, and got them off. And when she got them off, she said, "These are my brother's boots. My mother made me wear them this morning." So she puts them back on, the same struggle. She gets them on. She puts the coat on the boy, and she says, "Now where are your mittens?" And he said, "I stuffed them in my boots." And the teacher will be on parole in 3 years. Frustrating. People can frustrate you. There are personal frustrations. When goals are not achieved, when mistakes are made. I know sometimes I get frustrated with myself that if I don't discipline myself and budget my time not to spend time with God. It's just very frustrating. And because I know that I get into my day and I see how my day is going, and I just get frustrated with myself. And I say, I don't have anybody to blame but myself. And so it's very easy to get frustrated with self. Circumstances can frustrate you, man. It can frustrate you to no end. When the circumstances line up against the way that we are going or things that we are trying to do, we get frustrated. You know, I'll be honest with you. I can handle basic technology, but when somebody tries to tell me something new, because it always turns into a project for me. And when I say a project, I don't mean people say, "Oh, just go on and, you know, you can download this and click on this," and then all of a sudden, you know, and I say, okay. I don't know how many times I've tried this, and I've started it, And I started doing it, and I always run into a snag, and I'm always calling, and the members here in the church, you know who you are. I'm always calling somebody because I get frustrated. And so they'll come up and they'll start telling me things that, you know, Pastor, you know, we got this for you. You know, you know what? No, I don't even want it. I don't even want it because I know it's just going to be, I know it's going to be frustrating. I know it's going to be something that causes me to be frustrated. And so circumstances can cause us to be frustrated. Now, I'm saying this, and Brother Russell, he put the positive spin on the situation, right, with this parking. But let me tell you what the real deal on the parking is going to be. Russell put the positive spin on, but I'm going to tell you what the real deal is. Oh, man, the van just left. I'm over here 7,800, and I got to wait. When is that van coming back? Well, I'm not even going to come anymore until they get finished because, you know, they're just, I got to park, you know, all the way over there. Yeah, let me tell you something. I preached at a church on Sunday night. Some of y'all were there, and y'all know I'm telling the truth. Sunday night, I preached at a church in Oakland. The church was packed, and they didn't have parking lot irony. Didn't have a parking lot. As a matter of fact, you know, let me tell you this. See, normally when I go to preach somewhere, and when guest preachers come here, right, I alert security that we're having a guest, you know, save a spot for them so they'll have a place when they go. I went Sunday night. There wasn't even a spot for the preacher. Right? Man, it was at least a quarter of a mile. I mean, I had to go down, drive through Oakland Pitt campus, park way up on the street somewhere, and walk in the rain. And to make it so bad, I forgot my glasses in the car. And had to go all the way back to my car and get my glasses. You're talking about somebody who was frustrated. You know, and then I began to think, these folks don't even have a parking lot. They don't have a parking lot. And the place is packed. And then I thought about, if you think about most black churches in the city of Pittsburgh, I'm saying not all, but most, don't even have a parking lot. Or they got a parking lot about as big as this right here, right? I'm going to tell y'all something, Bethany. I'm just going to be honest with you, and I'm going to tell you what the real deal is. Y'all been spoiled. Y'all been spoiled. We got two parking lots. Two big parking lots. I'm just telling it like it is, right? So I don't want to hear anybody say, come on, you know, I'm not coming anymore because there's no parking, all right? You'll find, you know, the people at these other churches, they find parking places. They find them. We're just spoiled. I'm spoiled. You know, I can pull right up here by the trash can in the back. and get out of the car. And I maybe walk two steps, and I'm inside the building. Hey, Russell, what's going to happen to my spot, man? I'm not concerned about these folks. What?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Desert of Frustration from our series In the Desert with the Father. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Desert of Frustration, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Frustration. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Frustration or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.